Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The passage that we read today, Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it's a vision that Daniel has. And there's different things that happen in the vision, but these verses in particular, they stand apart from the rest of the vision. They stand out. In Daniel's vision, he sees someone who is known as the Son of Man. And this Son of Man came in the clouds to the very presence of God, the Ancient of Days. This Son of Man was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. All people, nations, and languages would serve him. When we read of his kingdom, we're reminded of Psalm 46:10, which says, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Or we read about the Son of Man and we remember Isaiah chapter 6, where he says that Isaiah said that he saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And John saw a similar vision when in Revelation he wrote, After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And the Son of Man is given dominion and glory and praise from all people, nations, and tongues. Who is worthy of this kind of praise? Only God deserves the kind of praise that's given to the Son of Man in these verses that we read. The Son of Man must be God, because he's given the praise that is only due to God. The Son of Man is given an everlasting dominion. It says, an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Who deserves that kind of a kingdom? Whose kingdom will last forever? You know, Satan, whenever he was with Jesus on top of the mountain, and he said, Look, I own all of the kingdoms in the world. They're mine. All you have to do is bow down and worship me, and I'll give you everything, Jesus. But Satan's kingdom is coming to an end. All the kingdoms on the earth are coming to an end. The only kingdom that will last forever is the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is given to the Son of Man. This is the vision that Daniel saw. And this vision is very important, because we see two distinct beings who are clearly God. But we also remember in Deuteronomy the verse that says, The Lord your God is one Lord. And so we know that he is one, and yet he is distinct. In these verses, there are two distinct persons who are both God, and yet God is only one. You say, well, I don't understand that. Neither do I. But we don't understand the human brain. What makes us think that we could understand the nature of God Almighty? This is what's revealed to us, is that, look, God is one God, and he is high and lifted up above all of creation, above all of the kingdoms on the earth. And the Son of Man comes, and he is also God, and he is given dominion and power and glory. Why is this important? Because Jesus, the one who you believe to be your Savior, claimed to be the Son of Man. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look there at verse 14. This is Jesus. He's talking to Nicodemus. And he says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And Jesus says that the Son of Man in Daniel, the vision that Daniel saw was the Son of Man receiving dominion and kingdom and glory from all people, from all nations. And Jesus said the Son of Man is going to be lifted up like the brazen serpent that Moses made in the wilderness. Remember, what it's talking about is when the children of Israel were wandering, they complained and they murmured against God. They murmured against Moses. They rebelled against his leadership. And God sent fiery serpents and they began biting the people in Israel, in the camp, and people started dying. And they prayed to God, and God told Moses, look, make a serpent out of brass and raise it up on a pole. And whoever looks to the serpent, out of the brass serpent, will live. So listen, there was no anti-venom they could take. There was no sacrifice they could give. Nothing they could do would save themselves from the death by the poison of these serpents that they had brought on themselves because they had rebelled against God, against His man. Nothing else they could do could save them from that. Only by looking to the serpent that Moses had made, they had to forsake everything else and commit, I am going to look at that serpent, and that's the only thing that can save me from this. And Jesus, in John chapter 3, says that's exactly what's going to happen to the Son of Man, is you have to forsake all else. Nothing else can save you. There's no sacrifice you can give. There's nothing, no good work you can do. Nothing you can do to save yourself. You have to commit yourself to the Son of Man. Forsake everything else and realize only the Son of Man can save me. And what does he say in verse 15? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is no other way to be saved but to look to the Son of Man. The one in Daniel's vision, the one who is lifted up above all of creation, this Son of Man is the only way who can, the only one who can save you from your sins. That's what Jesus tells Nicodemus. Turn over a couple pages to John chapter 5. Now, John chapter 5 is one of the most thorough discussions that Jesus has. And the whole point of his discussion in John chapter 5 is to prove that he is the Son of God and to prove that he is who he said he is. Look at John chapter 5, verse 26. He says, let me back up. So in John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says that he is the Son of God, and that made him equal with God. And that's kind of why the Pharisees wanted to stone him, because if he were not, then that would have been blasphemy. But then we look at verse 26. It says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because, what are the next few words? He is the Son of Man. Jesus claims that he is equal with God. He is the Son of God. And he says that I do the works that God does. Just like God has life in himself, he's given me life in myself. And he says he's also given me judgment because I am the Son of Man. The one in Daniel's vision is now the one who is standing there talking to the Jews. And he says, I am here to give you life, but I am also the Son of Man who will be lifted up above all the kingdoms of the earth. Now turn over to John chapter 8. Look there in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So when would it be revealed that Jesus was who he said he was? On the cross. Now that doesn't really match up with the vision that we saw, does it? We see the Son of Man who's ushered into the presence of God in the clouds, and he's given praise by every tongue. And he says that when you've lifted me up, and he's talking about the cross, when you put me on a cross, then you will know that I am the Son of Man. That doesn't make sense to us. So it means that either the Jews would overpower the Son of Man, which you saw the verses in Daniel chapter 7. It's unlikely that they were going to overpower the Son of Man. So either that would happen, or the Son of Man would willingly allow himself to be put on the cross. Jesus said, I am the Son of Man. You're going to put me on the cross. Which means he had to allow it. Now turn back to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Look at verse 60. Mark chapter 14 and verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? So they had been bringing different false accusations against Jesus, and he didn't answer a word to any one of the false charges that were brought to him. In verse 61, But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, okay, so the high priest brought it to a point. They had brought all these false accusations against Jesus. And the high priest brought it to a point. He said, okay, right here, right now, tell me, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? Straightforward, cut and dry. He asked Jesus to tell him who he was. In verse 62, and Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witnesses? We have heard the blasphemy. Okay, wait a minute. They called it blasphemy. And if Jesus were not the Son of Man, then yes, it would have been blasphemy. Because the Son of Man has a kingdom that belongs only to God. And Jesus says, That kingdom is mine. And so if he were not the Son of Man, then yes, it would be blasphemous. But we already have seen he is the Son of Man. He does the works that his Father does. He has life in himself, just like his Father has. And so we know that he is the Son of Man. But the high priest called it blasphemy. Continue reading in verse 64. You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. The Son of Man, who was lifted up above all of creation, who everyone knew. These are the high priest, the Pharisees, the Jews, the lawyers, the scribes. They knew what the Bible said. They knew the prophecy in Daniel. They knew who the Son of Man was. And they condemned him to death. Now, they did not believe he was the Son of Man. We've seen that he was. We've seen it from his words. We've seen it from his works. But they refused to believe that. And they knew very clearly who the Son of Man was. Jesus said, I am him. They refused to believe him. And then they decided he needs to be put to death. The Son of Man, who would receive dominion and power and glory from every nation and from every people, allowed himself to be humiliated and cruelly hung on a cross. Why would he do that? He would receive honor and glory from everyone. Why would he postpone that honor and glory to go to a cross? He would be the unchallenged king. Why would Jesus, the Son of Man, your Savior, allow himself to die on the cross? And the answer is simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the simple truth is that God loves you. The Son of Man loves you. And he knew the kingdom that he deserved, that was his, and that was coming to him, and that is his right now. He knew all of that. But he looked at you, and he said, I love you. And so he left his kingdom. He forsook the power and the honor that was his. And he came to die on the cross simply because he loved us. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look there at verse 6. It's talking about Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So he was in the form of God, and he didn't think that it was blasphemous. He didn't think it was wrong for him to be equal with God, because he was God. In verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. He was the son of a carpenter. That's what people thought. He came from Nazareth. There was no honor that was given to him. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, the son of man, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The son of man. You saw Daniel's vision. You saw the prophecy. That son of man decided to humble himself and to die on the cross. And just like he said, and it was for this reason, he said that when the son of man is lifted up, whoever looks to him, whoever commits themselves to him, whoever believes in him will be saved. They can have everlasting life. That's why he did it. He didn't have to do that. But he said, he decided, I'm going to be put on the cross. I'm going to be lifted up so that whoever looks to me can be saved. And just like he said, whoever does look to him, whoever does believe will be saved. The Son of Man hung on the cross for you. But that passage in Philippians doesn't stop there. It's wonderful that the Son of Man would die for us. And we can't understand, because the longer that you live, the more you realize just how wicked sin is, just how wicked mankind is. And the longer you look, we see mass shootings all the time. We see people being hurt, people being killed. There's terrorism, there's hatred, there's violence. And we look around at the world around us and we think, how on earth would God love us? And the longer you live, the less you understand, at least for me, the longer I live, the less I understand how Jesus would love us and how the Son of Man would look at me and he would say, I'm going to die for Michael. Or how he would look at the world around me and he would say, I'm coming to die for them. I don't understand that. But that's what he chose to do. But he did not stay dead. The Son of Man did not stay in the tomb. He walked out 3 days later and he ascended in the clouds to sit on the right hand of the Ancient of Days. He received his kingdom. Philippians 2:9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is that not what we read about in Daniel? God saw, or Jesus came and he died for us. And God lifted him and exalted him. And now at the name of Jesus, the one who you believe, the one who is your Savior, at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, your Savior and your Redeemer, is Lord. He is lifted up above every kindred, every tongue, above things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. Your Savior. The Son of Man loved you. He chose to humble himself. The Son of Man chose to die for you. He chose to pay the Son of Man, who received kingdom and glory and dominion, chose to pay the penalty for your sins. And all you have to do to be saved and to receive eternal life is to believe in Him. I love 1 John chapter 2, the first two verses. It says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And so look, John is saying, I'm writing these things to you. The book of 1 John, he said, I wrote them so that you would not sin. But if you sin, because we all still sin, if you sin, you have an advocate, which is Jesus Christ. He is righteous, and He, the Son of Man, who is lifted up above all of creation, is your advocate. And He sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. And He is the propitiation for your sins. The Son of Man paid for your sins. And not for your sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But what do they have to do for their sins to be saved, to be forgiven? What do they have to do? They have to believe. And that's why we have to tell them, the Son of Man loved you. The Son of Man died for you. And if you look to the Son of Man, you can be saved from your sins. You don't have to perish in your sins. You don't have to face the consequences for your sins, because the Son of Man humbled Himself, died for you, because He loves you. Jesus can save you from your sins because of who He is. He is God Almighty. And we read in Romans chapter 3 about how Jesus, as our sacrifice, Jesus is the only one who could pay for our sins because He is God. He's the only one whose sacrifice could atone for our sins, that could satisfy the justice of God. And so because of who He is able to save you from your sins. But not only that, because of who He is able to keep you from your sins. After you're saved, He's the Son of Man. He's God. He holds you. Are you going to take yourself out of His hand? He keeps you from your sins because of who He is. Even if you sin, the Son of Man is your advocate. God is your Redeemer. Isaiah 55 verse 7 says this, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." We hear the word whosoever when we talk about the gospel. It's a whosoever gospel. And our God will abundantly pardon whosoever believeth in Him. Whosoever cometh to Him, whosoever forsakes all, and like the serpent on the pole, whoever looks to Him and believes in Him and realizes there's nothing else I can do to be saved, if they commit themselves to Him, whosoever, He will abundantly pardon. And if you've never believed in Jesus Christ, believe today. Because the Son of Man wants to save you. He wants to save you from your sins, and all you need to do is to believe. Now let me leave you with just one thought for this morning. The Son of Man, who loves each and every one of you and died for each and every one of us and saved us from our sins, that Son of Man will be praised. Our Redeemer will be praised forever and ever and ever. So why don't we start today? We don't have to wait for eternity to praise the Son of Man. We already get the honor to praise Him as our God, as our Redeemer. So let me just give you a challenge. Go through your week thinking about, contemplating on the fact that the Son of Man loves you. And He is your Redeemer. Spend your day meditating on that fact, that the Son of Man is yours and He came for you. And then live your life like the Son of Man came and died for you. Live your life like you belong to the Son of Man.